Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode of How to Be Sound is sponsored by Sensius Laser Hair and Tattoo Removal, with 5 clinics spanning across Ireland and the UK. Sensius provides laser hair removal as well as red vein removal, fungal nail treatment and laser tattoo removal, all in super bright and shiny premises with ridiculously friendly staff. I should know because I've been lasering off my lower back tattoo for the past year or so, and while it's not completely gone, it's more a whisper than a shout these days. Get 10% off a course of laser hair or tattoo removal at Sensius by quoting How to Be Sound when booking. That's sensius.ie. Hello and welcome to another episode of How to Be Sound. You may notice that today is Wednesday and the podcast usually comes out on Thursday. And the reason it's coming out today is because this is a special Jazz Hands Valentine's Day edition where we're talking all about love, but mostly about how to meet somebody with no firm conclusions. I should just say that at the very, very beginning. If you're one of my patrons, thank you so much. I have set up a Patreon. It's at patreon.com/howtobesound. And for the bargain price of $3.33 per month, I don't know why it's in dollars. It's just America rules everything. You can become a patron and you can help support the podcast, which I really appreciate. It helps me pay for my lovely producer, Liam, and also like other things, like things I want to buy, like books. Nothing very expensive. Anyway, today I am joined first by a very, very special guest, Tess Purcell, who is a yoga teacher, but also, and more crucially to the theme of this podcast, she is a singleton. Would that be accurate? Do you like that description?
I feel like there should be dun, dun, dun after that.
Do you think you could be putting that on your Instagram bio now? Like, Tess Purcell, yogi, singleton, wanderer.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Yeah, describe yourself in 3 words. Yeah, okay, let's do that. God, that sounds so sad.
I like it. Do you sit at home listening to All By Myself over
constantly
and over again?
On repeat, and while I'm watching Bridget Jones.
First, I actually love Bridget Jones.
And also do I.
Well, you know what I watched the other day? I watched How to Be Single, which is absolutely rubbish. It is a movie with Dakota Johnson and Rebel Wilson. Alison Brie is in it for a moment and a very hot guy who I don't know who he is, so you'll just have to watch the rubbish film to find out.
Okay.
But it's basically Dakota Johnson decides to go, quote unquote, on a break from her long-term boyfriend. And she meets Rebel Wilson, who teaches her how to be single.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It was absolutely shit.
Is there hilarious consequences?
No. And the most hilarious thing about it was I Instagram storied about it and I said, this is the worst film I've ever seen. And a guy messaged me and said, no, I really don't think it's the worst film. There are definitely a lot worse films than it.
Okay.
I
thanks.
Was like, no, this is an opinion. And I really think it's the worst.
Hi, Quillan.
Oh, there's the dog. Literally every single podcast she noses her way into the room. What are you guys doing? So tell me about your fabulous single life.
Oh, I think fabulous is probably a stretch. It's not that fabulous. So I have been single for the last, I suppose, 6 years at this stage, because my birthday is in 2 weeks. And I broke up with my last boyfriend in or around my 30th birthday. And I was with him for a very, very, very long time. So I've spent the last five...
I really want to know what happened around your 30th birthday that caused this breakup.
Well, it wasn't really because I was turning 30, which is kind of a hard thing to say.
Did he trade you in for a younger model?
No, he didn't.
Sorry.
I broke up with him, I would say.
For the record.
But I know it was just one of those situations. Like, we were together for like 10 years. I spent my entire 20s with him. And he's great. Like, he's a really cool guy. But he just wasn't the guy for me. And I spent 2 years wrestling with the decision to break up with him.
Oh,
and eventually
so hard.
We did break up. But there's a thing like... when you turn 30, when you're in or around like your 28, 29, 30th birthday, like it's a shift in your kind of mind. Like the things
is this
changing.
A yoga thing?
It is a yoga thing, yeah.
Oh.
So there's a shift in your mind and there's a shift. Every 30 years is a change. This is kind of a thing. You can subscribe to it or not, but apparently there is, and people's make life decisions. And one of my life decisions was to break up with my now ex-boyfriend. So, but yeah, that happened, and that was fine. But I didn't wallow in self-pity, and decided to make up for last time.
Oh, and have you?
I did. I mean, I was talking to someone at the weekend about that, how when you break up with somebody after having gone out with them for like years and years and years, that people tend to do that. They tend to make up for that lost time, whether that is having lots and lots of sex or just...
I was just like, about to say, like, can we be explicit? You're talking about riding.
It's kind of, it gets to a point where it's a bit vacuous as well, and it doesn't really mean anything in the end. And you kind of realise, okay, well, I need to take a swim in Lake Mead and stop having sex with random strangers.
Yeah, I often think, you know, when people talk about one night stands, I kind of always think that one night stands are really pointless, because either it's crap and you wish it never happened, or it's amazing and you want it to happen again, which makes it not a one night stand, or makes it a one night stand that you're then annoyed and upset about, because you're like, why did he never call, or why did I never see him again? You know what I mean?
Yeah. One night stands are funny. Like, they're just, I mean, I've had one or two, and I mean, like that, they can be great, and you wake up the next day and you're trying to be all cool and aloof and be like, oh yeah, so I'll call you, yeah? Or else you're just like really needy and like, please stay, let's go get breakfast. Yeah.
Well, what are you doing now? Do you want to go for brunch? You know what, I thought it'd be really nice if we just like hung over and went to the cinema. I did that once. It wasn't really a one night stand, but it was like a very casual thing. And I was like, we're both hungover, let's go to the cinema. And I think he was just like railroaded into it.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're dating now. We spent the whole weekend together. We're in love.
Yeah, I kind of did that as well, especially like at the kind of beginning of my singledomness after the breakup. In that I was so used to kind of being with somebody for so long and kind of waking up on a Saturday and doing things. And so that when I woke up with somebody else, I would just expect that we would be spending the day together or whatever.
You would do things.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas he obviously had other ideas and he needed to go home and not be with this crazy bitch. So.
And what is, like, this is such a, this actually feels like that scene in Bridget Jones where they're at the dinner party. What is single life like these days? I'm an asshole.
I mean, it's fine. It is what it is. It is what you make of it. I'm not a lonely single. Like, I'm not a lonely person. I enjoy my life very much. I'm in a place right now where I have kind of finally figured out what I want to be when I grow up. And that's a yoga teacher and my day job as well. And I just...
But you might change your mind when you turn 60.
I might change my mind when I turn 60, but that's okay. And I'm okay with that. So like when I had to fill out your CIO form at 18, it was like, what do you want to be for the rest of your life? And you're just like, I don't know. I'll just do anything. I'll do arts in UCC. Is that coming through?
That's the smoke alarm.
Oh. That's them, like, big alarm bells. You're single. Yeah, very content. And I was talking to another friend of mine about kind of like this thing where you're told that you have to get married, you have to have a job, you have to have a baby, and you're checking boxes all along the way. And, you know, obviously life isn't like that, and that's okay. And sometimes people don't end up with somebody. You don't always have a partner at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my friend about it, and I was saying, I'm okay with that. If that doesn't happen for me, that's fine. I don't mind. I mean, obviously, I'd like to find somebody and find that special person or whoever he or she may be. But if I don't find them, I'm perfectly happy with the way things are.
And would you like to have kids? Because that's, I think, like the main problem, for want of a better word, for women, is that you may not have, like we may not have a problem being single. And I don't conceptually hate the idea of not having a life partner, but I don't want to have kids. So I think it's kind of easier for me. And I do wonder if you're somebody who's always thought about having kids, that makes it that much harder, especially in Ireland where, like, adopting is difficult as it is. Adopting as a single person, I think, is pretty much impossible.
Yeah. I mean, I've thought about it quite a bit, especially because I'm 36 right now. And, you know, you're told, you know, once you're past 35, your chances of getting pregnant are very slim.
I think you would be a geriatric mother.
I'd be a geriatric mother.
35 or over,
I think,
isn't it?
Yeah, 35 or 36, something like that. Yeah.
Grim, so, grim.
Yeah, thanks for that, world. But it's kind of, I don't know if I want kids, but I think if I did want kids, it would be with somebody I'm with and not just to have kids, because that's what my body can do, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm still kind of in two minds about the whole kids thing.
Yeah.
I'm quite a selfish person, so.
Obviously some people are very much like, I really want a kid and I've always known this. But I think for other people, it's almost like you might meet somebody and go, I'm really interested to see what our child would be like. Do you know what I mean? That it kind of becomes a like, I don't want a kid for the sake of having a kid, but I love you so much and I really want us to have this experience and us to have this child together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I suppose, I don't think I've really thought about it like that. I mean, I was listening to Oprah's podcast and she was saying before about one of the reasons she doesn't have kids is because she wouldn't be able to give that child 100%. So she would have to sacrifice something to in order to do that. So that's one of the reasons why she doesn't have children. So it's kind of she's too selfish to have a child, basically, is the reading I got from that.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite interesting.
But I do think, though, like anybody listening to this who has kids is like, no, you just find time. Because I know, like anybody I know, I know a couple who have, I think, three kids. And after the second kid, they were like, we're not having any more kids because, and I think, was it the husband or the woman said something like, I don't have enough space. Like, I feel like if I have another kid, I'll be diluting the love that I have for the first two kids, which I thought was kind of a funny and interesting concept. Yeah. But you don't, as in you find time for you. Like, look at that couple or they're always rolling out in the Late Late Show, have like 1,600 kids. I think they have probably 16 by now.
Well, I have a friend of mine. She's a yoga teacher and she's 7 kids. So she finds time for yoga. She needs yoga. Completely.
She needs to be in Downward Dog for a lot of her day.
Yeah, like, 100%.
That is a stressful time at home.
But I mean, she's great. She's loads of energy. She's loads of like time and space that she gives her kids and her husband and for herself as well. So like anything you do, I suppose you do, if you want to have kids, you will find the time for it.
Yeah.
It's like anything. You want to have a dog, you'll find time for a dog. So,
well, I'd actually argue that finding time for a dog is more difficult than finding time for a kid because A, your dog won't die if you leave it alone for a while, whereas your kid might, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, because like sometimes I do kind of go, oh my God, I've been out of the house for 5 hours and I've forgotten about the dog.
Yeah.
But like last week, the plasterer came over and we locked the dog in the dining room and then I was like, oh, I better check on her. And 5 hours later, she was still in there. Probably like absolutely hating me. But look, let's get back to what's important.
Right.
Are you on Tinder? Is Tinder the barren wasteland of men with tigers that we think it is?
Of society. So Tinder is a funny thing. When Tinder initially came out, it was just like, oh my God, like you have... Like
it's
all
a
these
man's
people.
Supermarket.
Yeah, it's like I feel like I'm in Tesco, like going down the aisle. It was just, as I remember, like sitting in a restaurant in Dublin, and I was talking to my friend, and she was showing me her Tinder, and I had a really old phone at the time, so Tinder wouldn't download onto mine. So I was looking at my friend.
I presume you upgraded immediately.
100%. I went straight into Carphone Warehouse and just. But we were going through it, and she was just showing me like this. You know, you go swipe left for no, X or right for yes, and then she was swiping right, and she was getting all these matches, and like it was just like, oh my God, this is so easy, like it's just a man at your fingertips, like that's insane. And like people were messaging and everything, so I eventually downloaded it and just started chatting to guys. And I mean, it was easy at first because everyone kind of was like, you know, testing the waters and dipping their toes in or whatever. But I mean, it's gotten to a point now where it's just kind of, it is a hookup thing for the majority of the people on it, and nobody really talks to you on it as well. And there's a lot of dick pics. And as well, Tinder these days, you don't have to, there's a free version,
but you can do
the premium. And apparently there is like, you know, 1,000 likes waiting for you. And I'm sure the algorithm is probably better if you pay for it, and you'll probably get.
Well, so I have a friend who did premium, I think mostly because she didn't want, because so basically what I gather is one of the premium versions, you pay a certain amount per month, and it means that men only see you if you have already liked them. People only see you if you've already liked their pictures.
Okay.
Which means that I presume if you would never see another premium user then, because how would you see them if they hadn't liked you already? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But she said that she went premium because she didn't want her kind of exes or anybody she knew her friends or whatever. She just didn't want people in her circle to be like, oh, I saw you on Tinder, or like, oh, I matched with you on Tinder, lol.
But
you
then what's wrong with that? Like, why was she so insecure about people seeing her on Tinder? Everyone's on it. It's not like it's a...
I don't think it was an insecurity thing so much as she just is quite private and didn't want everyone to know her business more than anything else. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So I don't think, like, because I think, like, I think she met a previous guy that she was dating on Tinder and had said to people, oh, we met online. So it wasn't because I know people now. And actually, it's interesting. I was talking to somebody recently who was saying that they met their partner online, but they were like, but I don't tell anyone that. I was like, I find that bizarre. Because I'm sure in 5 years' time, it's not going to be like that.
No, I don't even think it's like that now.
That's rare.
Yeah. And my best friend met her boyfriend. They're going out 10 years and they met online. And this is before Tinder, before OkCupid. I think it was like another friend.
Was it Plenty of Fish?
Friend. Something like that, yeah.
I met a man on Another Friend. Didn't end well. Wouldn't recommend it.
Well, this girl has had like the greatest relationship. Like they're a solid couple, and she's no problems and never had a problem telling anyone that they met online and was perfectly okay with that. But then this was like 10 years ago when it was a bit of a, oh my God, you sad person, you met him online.
Yeah, yeah. Why did you have to go online?
You're that lonely that you had to resort to that. Whereas now it's almost the opposite way, in that if you meet somebody in a pub, or if you meet somebody like, you know, if you start going out with your friend or whatever, that's the weird thing.
Yeah,
so everyone
yeah.
kind of, it's like, well, what app did you meet on?
Yeah.
Is the kind of question, more so than, you know, what pub did you meet in?
I met my boyfriend in Howl at the Moon. And it is a really, like it is a kind of an odd story, because we don't have any friends in common and we don't hang out in the same places.
Yeah.
So there's no other way that we would have met other than online. I think a lot of people assume that we must have met online.
How long are you together?
4 years.
Okay.
I was like, what? 4 years. Yeah.
Four long years.
Four of the best years of my life. Can I play with your Tinder?
You can't play with my Tinder.
This is my favourite thing to do. I have a friend. And actually, I remember in the early days of Tinder that I was kind of always arguing with friends of mine that I just thought people were too picky. That I was always like, no, because you could see how he'd be a nice guy. You know, like, you look at a photo of someone, right, and you're like, I'm not sure if that's my type, maybe.
Yeah.
But then you're like, well, imagine chatting to that guy at a bar, and if he was like really funny and charming and witty, and he'd be like, of course. So yeah. I just would swipe yes to everyone.
Yeah. Tinder as well is like, it is a game. Like when you do match with somebody, it'll come up, you know, it's a match. And then like there's options, then it's keep playing or chat. So even the fact they use the word play, it's a game. Like it's a.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, and aren't there loads of studies about how it affects you seeing a match? So there's something about like it sets off dopamine responses in your brain. So Tinder is actually addictive, because every time you see a match, you get this like little
thrill
affirmation. Yeah,
yeah, probably. Okay, I mean, I have no idea. But
so what have you got your things like set to? So okay. Your limits.
So my thing, right? We're going to my profile. So
yeah, what are your upper and lower limits of say age?
So my age. What is my age? So settings. Where is it now? So my age range is 34 to 46.
Oh, 34. That's very.
Yeah,
close.
I mean, yeah, I'm 36. And I've had experience with younger boys and
boys.
You know, it's a maturity thing. I don't think I can go lower than, I mean, 33 at a stretch, but
well, not in your Tinder.
On my Tinder, I don't. No, 46. Then 10 years older than me. Grant should have his life sorted out. You'd hope. Doesn't always happen. So you have a maximum distance thing. So it's 23 kilometres. I'm not really sure where that...
That's very specific.
Goes. Yeah, well, you can kind of...
Is that like where you can go on a specific bus route? Like, yeah, listen, I like the 39A and it only goes this far.
So it's 23 kilometres from here, from wherever
I
am.
Okay,
and it's men I have it turned on to. And that's... Yeah, so the notifications, new matches, messages, message likes, super likes, all that kind
of
stuff.
Okay, so. Great. So that's the important. So where do I... And what way do we swipe for yes and what way do we swipe for no?
So,
oh no, I've gone out of it. I've lost already. Game over.
Game over. So X and leave a heart, and then you have the super like button in the middle.
Oh, and what happens if you super like someone? That's embarrassing. Like
it comes into their profile and it says, somebody has super liked you.
And does it tell them who it is?
Doesn't. So if I get super liked, I'll get a message to say someone has super liked you. So you'll go on and you'll swipe for a couple of it, and then eventually the guy will come up and he's kind of his picture will have like a blue tinge to say that this guy has super liked you. So then you can match him and you
it's
can
so
start
weird.
Chatting. Yeah.
Have you ever matched someone who super liked you? I feel like that'd be a bit of a turn off.
No, I haven't. Because normally anyone who ever super likes me, it's just like some muckshite.
Okay. So what do we think about Ben? 44, so, he's from Adelaide. Oh, hang on. How do I look at his information?
So, yeah,
I press
so,
I. Yeah. Oh my God. I'm actually like my mother on Facebook. How do I do this now?
What happens next?
Oh, recommend Ben to a friend. Can I not see any information about Ben?
So Ben hasn't really given us any information.
Oh, Ben works in wine.
Ben is...
I like that.
So you, but you can see, so he's got a couple of photographs and he's just got some random photo of the sky. Because, you know.
Is that a finger? What's that?
It looks like wine or something.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Okay. Sure. He likes wine. That makes sense.
And then a picture of a frog. Cause
that's original. Are frogs a new thing on Tinder?
I mean, it's the first time I've seen it.
Yeah, okay, so I like that. So I'm giving Ben points because it's not a tiger.
Yeah, this is true.
And he's been very explicit about his love for wine.
I think I'm noping him.
Okay.
Based on a very shallow... That I just think he looks very cute. Like, he looks very cute rather than sexy. I do like the frog.
Yeah.
And I like that he likes the wine. But I'm just not sure if I can envision you two together.
No, and also, I think that photo was probably taken at a wedding.
So, he goes to weddings. That's fine. Every man who goes to a wedding.
I mean, has he...
He's no tie on. He looks relaxed.
That's because he's cool, you know? Ben doesn't need a tie.
You know what as well? Ben has, and I have a big issue with men with questionable facial hair. Because a man with questionable facial hair, you know, because like your facial hair grows really quickly.
Yeah.
So if a man has dodgy facial hair, he makes that decision at least every second day. At least every second day he looks in the mirror and he goes, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want beard rash, so.
Oh, I had that once. Okay, so we're noping. Oh.
Now, Leo.
Leo's in his tiny, tiny pants. Leo's 35. He's wearing a crucifix around his neck.
Oh, Lord.
He's holding a phone and simultaneously taking a photograph with another phone.
Yeah.
Which means he's a man of mystery, a man of business. And he's wearing teeny tiny, he's at a pool. He's wearing teeny, these are all important. He's wearing teeny tiny
briefs. That's like a GoPro photo as well. So it's kind of.
Oh, it's kind of like fisheye. Yeah. So he could be 7 foot or he could be 3 foot.
Could be either or.
And we don't know. In the next photograph, he's wearing a New York Yankees cap and he has a Diesel t-shirt. I have a big problem with people who pay to advertise brands on their clothing. Unless it's sportswear. Oh, he loves his GoPro. Another photo of him.
I'm not convinced, Leo. I'm sorry.
With the crucifix.
Yeah,
look at this. He loves that crucifix. Here he is at the gym with his top off, Bluetooth headphones.
To be fair to him, he's a nice body now. You know, he keeps
He's a very
fit.
Good body and he's a very...
And he knows it.
Yeah, he does know it. And he's cute. He has more than one pair of sunglasses.
Next, see, now this is the last photograph and it's a torso shot. So if you were to probably match with him, I would say that he was going to send you a dick pic at some point.
Okay, by that, I'm absolutely matching with him.
So now
we've matched each other.
With Leo.
Yes! I'm anticipating a dick pic within the next 3 minutes.
It doesn't say.
Oh no, it says keep swiping, not keep playing.
Maybe they changed it, so.
Yeah, they're obviously onto you. They're like, this is not a game. Donica is 35 and he is. On the subway. Train. He likes to travel.
Yeah.
Likes to get out and about. He looks sad.
Got a lot of brow there.
I wasn't going to mention it. He has a serious monobrow.
Like, that's
like,
no.
Oh my God, he's wearing a very weird shirt.
That looks like a kind of done special.
Like, that looks like the kind of shirt you'd buy for like a friend's engagement party.
Yeah.
That's like a fancy shirt that you would buy.
Yeah. But he's out, you know, he's having the crack with his friends.
His eyebrows look better there. I think he's got his eyebrows groomed there.
I think he did.
I think this is another wedding. He got the eyebrows groomed special.
I think it is, yeah. Oh, no.
He loves making this face. There's a lot of photographs of him making a, like, poor me face, which means he would definitely be the kind of guy who would go, Tess, will you go out to the shop and get me a beer? I'm really hungover. So I'm giving him a no.
No. No, Donica, I'm so sorry.
David is 37. He went to UCD.
Now, there's three people in that photograph.
David is definitely the guy in the front. Okay, so there's David 37. There are two owl lads in the back, Tess. He's definitely the young lad in the front.
Experience has taught me that it's never the hot guy in the photograph.
It is the hot guy. Here he is in a photograph with
a girl.
Woman. Yeah, and I think that's brave. It shows, like, I'm not afraid to offer out there that I may have been in a past relationship or have a friend who's a woman.
But why would you put a past relationship on your Tinder profile?
She drinks Guinness. She drinks Guinness.
Oh, she's wild.
No, she's not wild. She's one of the lads. Guinness in a pint glass. That's serious.
Now,
here's another photograph with
the lads.
Seven people, and I definitely can't tell which one is David.
No, I have no
idea. Like, from the last photo, none of these men looks like David.
I think it's the guy in the green hat, but I can't be sure.
No, I think it might be this guy.
Oh, right.
In the stripe. Like, both of those hats are terrible.
And they go
skiing. Here he is skiing. No, and he's in a hot tub. Can we say no to David?
We can say
is that too harsh? I think
no
he's kind of cute. Okay, we're saying. Fergus has a dog.
Fergus, you know the way to my heart.
Fergus is 39. He has a dog and he likes Ga. That's what you can tell from that first photograph. I don't even know if that is a Ga jersey. That could be like any rando jersey.
Oh.
He doesn't know how to take a high-res photograph.
Oh, he doesn't.
Takes that for nothing.
See, is that the best photographs he had, though?
No.
You know?
You know what this is? So, you know, I used to work in the Irish Times. And frequently we would need people's headshots and we would email them and go, can you send us a photograph of yourself? And 9 out of 10 times they would send us a photograph they had downloaded from Facebook. And this is what Fergus has done right now. Fergus does not know how to get original photographs from his phone and has just like screenshot or screenshot really, really terrible blurry photographs from Facebook.
But like, does Fergus not care? Like, does his potential wife or whatever is going to see these? And like, is that the first picture that she wants, that he wants her to see?
This blurry photograph of him with a husky. Or potentially one of the dogs from Game of Thrones. Technician, you have 5 common connections.
Oh.
I won't read them out for privacy reasons. It's weird that you can recommend Fergus to a friend. You might like this one.
I've never actually done that.
That does make it like a weird game.
Yeah.
I'm going to like Fergus because... Okay. Oh, okay, we're going that way. Because Fergus had a nice smile.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He was smiling in all of his photographs, which I like.
But he had a dog, and I like dogs. So.
And you like dogs. Do you like Ga? You could learn. Niall, 37. I like curly hair. He's a bit moody. Beautiful curly hair children. He's a bit moody. Oh, no. No, he's playing a guitar. No,
he brings the guitar
out in a house party. No.
Starts
absolutely.
Playing John Lennon.
Start playing, yeah, John Lennon or Wonderwall. That's it. Or what's that other song? That one that's like Crash Into You by Dave Matthews Band. He would ruin a party. Peter's 37 and...
And likes to smoke. And
or
Peter
rolls really tiny spliffs.
Super liked me.
Ooh.
That's what that is.
A blue tinge.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a photograph of Peter in front of a very old-fashioned television smoking either a cigarette or a very, very thin spliff. I think it might be a thin spliff. Honestly, I admire people who can roll a thin spliff because mine, went on the odd occasion that I've rolled a spliff, have been like super tampons.
Yeah, oh yeah, big
They're
time.
Very
yeah,
big.
Meet your sister. And he's a patriot.
He likes the Irish flag or the Ivory Coast flag upside down.
Upside down.
Oh, he has 2 pairs of sunglasses and in this pair he looks quite good looking.
Yeah, he's all right.
His shaved head there. Yeah. Like,
and he's like...
It's a random picture of a bird. Aww. And it looks really pissed off. It's an angry bird. Well, there's another photograph. He likes a selfie.
He does. He likes his selfies.
No, I'm not into him from that photograph now.
Oh. Where is that?
And there's a photograph of him in front of a castle in some kind of Celtic
and he's
twirl. Celtic swirl. I think this means he's cultured. He's into Irish culture. He owns 2 pairs of sunglasses, likes
and
birds.
He's
Oh, maybe 3 pairs of sunglasses. No.
He's a patriarch. He likes bird watching.
Patriot.
Patriarch.
He could be your patriarch. And his bio just says, "Hi, I'm Peter."
Oh, and, God, and it's insightful.
You know
Peter.
What's actually decided it for me? It says, "Hi, I'm Peter" with a lowercase p, which I read that as like,
Peter.
"Hi, I'm petering out."
Oh,
like, that's
Peter.
Not a name. That's not a proper noun. It's not a capital letter.
Oh,
okay, bye.
Poor guy.
Nope to him. Oh, Rodrigo. 46.
Hello.
Does he have a hole in his shirt? Is he a sliver of belly?
Perhaps.
Oh,
likes to eat.
I think that's a nacho. He's taunting us about that whole Doritos thing.
That's a nice photo.
That's a very nice photo.
Yeah, I like that now.
Rodrigo's very good looking. Oh, that's mean.
I wonder where
Just
Rodrigo's
like he's
from.
Better looking in some photos than he is in other photos.
That's a nice photo.
That is a nice photo. I think we're going to have to say yes to Rodrigo.
What does he say? I wouldn't be,
Ooh.
Able to describe myself in a few lines. But as a human being, we share the same basic goals. We all seek happiness and do not want suffering. Although he's 6'4". So,
Can I just read this out again for emphasis, right? First sentence. I wouldn't be able to describe myself in a few lines. But he's going to try anyway. But as human being, we share the same basic goals. : We all seek happiness and do not want suffering. Next line. I'm 6'4". And in brackets... 184 centimetres. He's very accurate.
Are you talking about his height there now, or?
He's absolutely talking about his height, you absolutely, like, sicko. I liked Rodrigo until I read his bio. Maybe we should just pretend we haven't read that and we'll like
it. Sure, give it another like there.
I'm 6'4". 6'4" is very tall.
It's a full foot taller than me, so.
Not to get ahead of ourselves, but if you had kids with him, you'd be very worried. You'd have to schedule him for a C-section. Be frightening. Okay, I'm going to like him. Oh, it's a match.
Hello.
I'm not sure. Like, the problem is, I could wait here for hours. So I'm going to send him a message and say, "Hey, you have an Android. This is very difficult. I can't type. I really like your blue outfit. Full stop. How are you doing?" I'm not adding an emoji because I'm not a child. We're just going to do one more. I'm just going to say no to Alex straight away because his photo doesn't have his head in it, which means he's married.
No idea what Alex looks like.
Alex is married.
Yeah.
If you were listening to this podcast and you were married to a man who is pictured on the deck of a boat wearing a pair of blue tie-dye shorts and a blue CK t-shirt, both of which are wretched. I mean, I feel really sorry for you because that's a terrible outfit. Then he's cheating on you on Tinder. Was that insensitive? Oh, Dave, 34, is a doctor.
Doctor.
Trinity College, Dublin. I bet Dave is not a doctor. I bet Dave is a doctor in training.
He's probably a doctor of love.
Oh, Dave is very good
looking. Very well in a suit now.
He looks very good in that suit. He was definitely somebody's best man, which means he's got friends. Close friends.
Look at him there laughing nonchalantly.
There's a weird low-res photo where he's cut off his own nose, but... he's better looking in photos 1 and 2 than he is in photo 4.
He is.
Photo 5 is doing a handstand. He could be good at yoga.
More cartwheel.
Photo 6.
I like David now.
Yeah, I like Dave as well. Okay, what does Dave say about himself? I'm not going to super like him. That's embarrassing. Doctor by day, generally sleep at night, biscuits in between.
I like Dave.
I like Dave as well. Okay, we're going to like Dave. What? Hang on, how are we going to feel if Dave doesn't like his back? I mean, you.
That's grand. Listen.
Do you feel emotionally attached to it now or no?
No, not at all. Like, I haven't used Tinder in a long time.
I liked him, but it didn't come up. Maybe he has yet to match with
you. Maybe he's yet to see it. Fernando.
I just want to do this forever.
Much as I'd like to, we can't sit here and Tinder away all night. But what has been your top... What's been the top Tinder time that you've had? Top Tinder date?
Top Tinder time. I suppose the first actual Tinder date I went on, which is terrible now, I forget his name, but...
So
shallow. But no, I mean, the first guy I met off Tinder, he was super, super tall. He was from, I think, Amsterdam. And we were both really nervous. And I remember I polished off like half a bottle of wine before I met him because I was just so nervous.
This date's great already.
And we met in the Black Sheep and we just got on really, really well. And he was a really nice guy. And I think because it was started at the start of the whole Tinder thing as well, there wasn't as many assholes as such on it. So people were genuinely on it to find love in inverted commas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was really nice. And we hung out a couple of times after that as well. And yeah, that was cool. Although he was looking for wife number 3, as I later found out. So hence that didn't last. Yeah, yeah.
It started out so well.
It started out really great. Lovely guy, really nice fella. But I wasn't going to be wife number 3. So Rodrigo has sent me a message.
Oh, what did he say?
Hi Tess, I'm grand. Thanks.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh my god.
No questions. Like
dating is so difficult.
Yeah.
That's actually what I found when I used to online date. Just get this message going like, hi, how are you? Letter you. And you'd be like, no, I'm not responding to that because that is crap.
Yeah.
Like, I've written a fucking whole long profile and I need you to engage with me.
Apparently, though, that hey is like the 75% of the first messages sent is hey. It's just to say that because...
Well, that is shit.
It is shit because what do you do with
single.
Hey?
Not me, but you.
Speak for yourself. No, I've had some really great dates out of Tinder. I've had some really bad ones as well. But I mean, it would happen regardless if it wasn't on Tinder or not.
Bad dates are an inevitable part of
life. That happens. Yeah.
Well, Tess, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on How to Be Zen and to talk about Tinder.
No problem.
And let me play with your Tinder.
That's
and
fine.
I think the take home for me for How to Be Zen when being single is be more like Tess and less like Rodrigo, who was crap.
Yeah, rubbish message back.
Are you going to write back to him?
Well, it's phone is flashing again, so maybe he wrote another one.
Oh, hopefully a better one. I like your outfit too.
I just realised that I don't have my blue outfit anymore. How's life in Tinder going?
Oh. Well, if he doesn't have his blue outfit, I'm not interested anymore.
Forget about it.
Forget it. That was the whole thing that attracted me. Why didn't you put up that photo? That's false advertising.
Unmatch.
Yeah. Oh, can you do that?
Yes, you can.
Oh,
unmatch.
Way harsh.
Yeah.
So you can like get that message unmatched and does he know you've unmatched?
Yeah, yeah. It'll come up that you're not in his messages anymore. And it's very satisfying, especially if you've had a really shitty date.
And does it happen to you a lot?
Yeah. Not a lot, but yeah. Oh. I mean, I don't use Tinder that much.
Oh my God, it would have happened to me all the time when I was always just giving out to people. But like, do you really think that line's going to work? Like, does that actually work for you with anyone? Like, do you think that's a good... Anyway. Thank you so much for joining me.
No problem.
We're going to take a little break and after the break, I'm going to be talking to somebody who... unlike Tess, no offence, is actually an expert on love.
Why is she talking to me now?
Meet Your Maker is a podcast about the people who make the things we love, hosted by me, Liam Geraghty. In season one, we met composers, anime voice actors, writers on Sesame Street, a geeky priest who restores harmoniums in Cavan. It was nuts. In season two, we are upping the ante.
I leapt up from the chair, my hair was dripping dye, and I said, I have to make a phone call.
I used to write letters to, you know, say comedians like Janine Garofalo, and they'd write back really nice letters, like saying, like, you're so mature for a 15-year-old. And in my head, I kind of be like, yeah, like, I could be friends with Janine Garofalo.
One of his friends, this older guy, he shakes my hand, and I get up to shake his hand, and then he grabs my hand and pulls me in super close. In my ear, he's like, if you give him any drugs, I'll kill you.
If you want to know what that's all about, Meet Your Maker is out now, wherever you get your podcasts, or see meetyourmaker.ie. That's meetyourmaker.ie.
So I'm here at Intro Matchmaking HQ with Intro Matchmaking's Rena Maycock. Rena, thank you so much for coming on How to Be Sound.
Thank you for having me.
The first thing I wanted to know really is, is matchmaking as great as Jane Austen and Alicia Silverstone would have us believe?
It's all those things and much more.
is this your dream job?
It's a long story. I used to work in radio and wanted to get out of it because things weren't really all that good. And we were out in Gibney's in Malahide one night at a friend's party. And I saw a guy standing there kind of in his early 40s, really well-dressed, jeans, sports jacket, clutching this pint to his chest. And I thought he must be waiting on somebody, you know, that you passively kind of notice people. Half an hour later, he was still there. Then he went up and got himself another drink and then he came back, stood there again. And Gibney's is not the type of place that you go to on a Saturday night to prop up the bar. So I realised he was there on his own, had no wingman and was trying to meet someone. And I thought,
that's very brave.
Sweet Jesus. Like it's very brave. And I thought there must be a better way. Because looking at this guy, he was an eligible looking guy. And I was thinking, I've definitely got 5 or 6 friends I could set him up with. So it got me thinking about it. I used to do a bit of amateur matchmaking with friends because, truth be told, I like to congratulate myself, but making people happy, and I look for thanks all the time. And I just said it to Fergal. I was like, look, there might be something in this. We looked into it. There were a couple of matchmaking agencies out there, but nobody that was really kind of doing it properly for a living. So we decided.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Just that intro up. So it may not have been a dream. The dream had always been to kind of own our own business. And then we kind of thought, what better way, you know, to wake up every morning and try and make people's dreams come true. And I said, no, it sounds very flowery and fluffy. And in reality, it hasn't really worked out that way. It does sometimes. And for all of the times that it does work out and it's really successful and it's a really warm and fuzzy feeling, it keeps us buoyed and keeps us kind of going on. But it's not easy.
So what's the like average success rate?
It works for about 1 in 4 people.
Okay.
And that sounds high, but it doesn't work for 3 out of 4.
No, so, 1 in 4 is higher than I would have thought, to be honest.
Yeah, well, we think it's high. And it's that high because we turn away a lot of people. And it sounds terrible. Well, you see, naively, like I said, when we opened up the business, we took everyone on. And if we thought that their requests and their expectations seemed quite reasonable in the grand scheme of things, we took them on in good faith. And they gave us their money and we made them, you know, a certain level of promises. And we realized very quickly that what we may have thought would have been realistic expectations and realistic things to look for, they ended up not being. And, you know, you start looking into very boring and dull things like, you know, census results and all that kind of thing to try and figure out reasons why things don't seem to be quite clicking the way you thought they would.
Yeah.
I'll give you a bold example. Education. Women in Ireland tend to stay longer in education and do slightly better than men. And it's just one of those things, it's an Irish thing. And men get drawn towards trades, farming, all that kind of stuff. So statistically, for every one professional woman in Ireland, there's only 0.6 of a professional man. So women were coming to us and they were saying, I've got a PhD. I would expect that, you know, whoever I matched with would have the same type of educational standard. And we'd go, yeah, sure.
And logically speaking, that's not going to happen for everybody.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. So we realised for it. And then also, if you turn it on its head and you look at men, once they tip over 37, 38, become obsessed with age. In a lot of cases, it's their only criteria. Just get me someone that's an awful lot younger. Some will look for 15, 20, even 30 years younger. So we have to turn those guys away because we couldn't turn around to a 35-year-old client and say, we've got a great 60-year-old for you. She'd go to Joe Duffy and she'd be right.
And she'd go to Joe Duffy.
Yeah, she would. I'm going to Liveline. Of course she would. And she'd be right too. So we kind of figured out through trial and error what was the acceptable barrier for women. And so now when women call us and they're kind of over 37, 38, we say, look, you must be willing to date men up to maybe, you know, 7, 8 or 9 years older at the very most.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say 70.
No. The majority of women will think that's okay. But some will think, and if I had a euro for every woman that rang and said, oh, I'm 51, but I look 41. And all my friends tell me I look 41. So I'd like to meet a younger man. It's like, look, I don't doubt you. I'd say you probably do look 41. But we are the age we are, and men become so obsessed with big age gaps that we just can't
it's
do
so
it.
It's so weird. I mean, that's something that I'm especially interested in. From a personal point of view, right, I have a lot of conversations with friends. One of my friends was trying to tell me last night that her two babies, that they have totally different, basically, biologies in terms of what's in their nappies because of their gender. Right? She was like, no, it's very different. Like, the boy does this and the girl does this. And I was like, I don't think that's true. But when it comes to matchmaking, do you see a big difference in how men and women approach love and in how men and women, well, like what their priorities are, you know, what they're looking for in a partner?
Yeah. Women, I tend to find, and I really don't want to be sounding like I'm coming down hard on women, because I think women have a raw deal in Ireland because they do have these expectations to date someone their own age, date someone of the same educational standard as they have, which seem reasonable in the real
world.
Which,
I mean, I would argue are reasonable.
Of course they're reasonable. Absolutely, of course they're reasonable. And as a 38-year-old woman, I feel bad for having to break the news to women. Like, this is what you have to kind of deal with. And I feel bad that Liam is here and he's going, God, the guys are letting us down. You're letting the side down. But realistically, they're not. Because on the flip side of that, you don't have to have a PhD to be intelligent. So, you know, I know farmers out there that are on our books and they buy and sell you. You know, Alan Sugar never went to school, never went to college. Mm. You know, so there's all these examples of guys that are really bright and they've got an awful lot to offer. But unfortunately, on paper, they're reduced to the educational standard, the academic qualities that they have. So I don't mean to sound like I'm coming down hard on women. It's just these are things in Ireland. These are socioeconomic issues that, you know, we're presented with. But women do tend to come to a process like this with a list. You know, they've got criteria, they've got boxes that they want ticked. They've paid close attention because most women are quite pragmatic. They're goal orientated and they know how to, when they see a goal, whether that's looking for a master's or looking for a new career or looking for a relationship, they'll approach it in a very pragmatic way and they'll write a list. They'll say, what steps do I need to take to get what I want here? Whereas guys don't. They tend to just say, I want a woman that's younger. Or I want a woman that has no kids. Or I want a woman that does have kids because I've got kids. They'll tend to think in much more broad kind of terms. And once you can meet that rough term, they can more or less be, you know, reasonably happy with that. And they'll meet at the very least and they'll leave the rest up to chance. Women quite often will put boundaries in their own way because they'll say, right, in my experience, I dated a guy that was, you know, he had kids and I didn't have kids and it presented a problem.
Or I dated, therefore, I don't want to meet
therefore, that's kids. Not happening anymore. Yeah. Or I dated a smoker before, you know, I couldn't get him to give up smoking. I hate smoking. I had a parent that died of a smoking-related illness. I'm not dating a smoker. And they're all realistic things. Everybody is entitled to their idiosyncrasies. However, matchmaking comes down to a numbers game. So if you've got a lady that's sitting opposite you and saying, I won't date a smoker, I just have, you know, really important reasons for that, we'll always say that's absolutely fine. If you want that as a deal breaker, that's fine. However, 22% of Irish people smoke. So you're
22%? Yeah. That's so high.
So you're reducing your pool of potential options by almost a quarter. So of all the guys that we have on our books, which are thousands, however, if you're taking out a quarter of them, you need to be just prepared for the fact that it may take longer to find your matches.
Yeah.
And your Mr. Right may be in that quarter that you'll never hear of. So as long as it matters to you a lot, that's fine, leave it in there. But if it's just a bit of a kind of a, I'd prefer a non-smoker, yeah, because I'm not really wild about the smell of it, I would probably leave that out of your deal, your deal breakers or preferences.
And like, what do you think makes a good match? Because I think, I mean, this is what strikes me as being the most difficult part of your job. Because when I think about, say, me and the guys that I've gone out with, they've all been wildly different. Mm. Or when I think about my friends and their boyfriends, and I would never have thought to put them, you know, to put them, yeah, together, or I would never have imagined that this would be the perfect match. Or you know, when people break up, and I'm equally surprised going, I thought that they were going to be together forever.
Yeah.
And so, like, I mean, what do you look for when you're matching people? Is it just a really practical thing that you're going, we're looking for people who kind of match up on paper, and then after that it's up to chemistry and whims, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, you have instincts. And at times, we've been guilty probably of trying to twist people's arms because we just feel like we know. Yeah. And that sounds like a really arrogant thing to say. But the unfortunate thing is, and we get asked this a lot, what qualifies you to be a matchmaker? Well, there isn't a degree course in matchmaking. You know, if in terms of psychology, you can go down that route if you wish, but you can get lost in it. Mm. We have, both Fergal and I, my husband who runs the company with me, we're both salespeople. We came from a sales background. He sells houses, I sell advertising. So we're used to dealing with people and changing our personalities to adapt to everybody that calls us and all the different clients that we have. So we've learned over the years how to spot two personalities that are going to get on. Now, there's six of us here in intro, and everybody has that one thing in common: good interpersonal skills. And I don't mean to slap myself on the back in saying that. Most people do have good interpersonal skills. But we do get an instinct. And after doing it for such a long time, we can spot quite often. I might be sitting opposite Rosemary and doing your interview, and you might be giving me all the details about your hobbies and interests. And immediately I might think, geez, I've got a great guy, Patrick, for her. And as I'm going through the interview with you, I'm going, God, I don't think he fits the bill as far as she's concerned.
Okay.
But I'm going to try and make her go on that date because I think they'll make a great match. And sometimes it's just simply about personality. It's not about the fact that you play tennis every Saturday and you'd love someone that plays tennis, or that he's a non-smoker and you love a non-smoker. All those things do matter, but sometimes it's more than that. I'll give you an example. I had one guy, he was a farmer, and he came in, and he was one of the most lovely men. A lot of farmers, because they just don't have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the way Ireland is structured now, women leave the small towns and go to, yeah, Dublin or Cork or Galway or Limerick. They go to cities, they get educated, and they stay there to be professionals. And then the guys stay home, largely.
And look after the farm, yeah.
And this is another thing that we have to kind of get people to do, is travel. Everybody, yeah, has to meet somewhere in the middle because there's more available women in urban areas, more available men in rural areas.
I travel for a farmer. I've seen those calendars.
Road frontage. It's all you need. So this guy came in and he was a lovely, lovely man. Do you ever meet someone and they just want to make you cry? They're so nice. This guy came in and immediately I loved him. And he said that, I don't want to give anything out that's too identity revealing. His brother and his then girlfriend were having an affair and they were getting married. And this guy shared the farm with the brother.
Was he going to go to the wedding?
He was going to the wedding.
Oh, I'd burn it all down.
And he said, I just want to meet someone so that I don't have to be on my own at that wedding. And I was like, oh, sweet mother.
I'd honestly, I'd pay for someone. I'd pay for like a fucking Victoria's Secret model to come with me to that wedding.
He just was such a lovely, lovely guy. And I came away from that meeting thinking, I'm going to move hell and high water just to make this happen for him. And coincidentally, his second date, he went on his first date, this lady's second date, and she was a nurse lecturer, and she had said she would prefer somebody educated. And between the jigs and the reels, they went out on a date. I had to twist her arm to go out with him because he didn't have the education. They went out. They are now married. And we were invited to do a piece on the Pat Kenny show, but they wanted us to bring on with us people that had met through intro.
Yeah.
And we can get nobody to do testimonials, not real ones. They'll do written testimonials and say, change my name. And that's what we put on the website.
Say, like, Mary from Cork. Yeah.
Yeah, because Ireland hasn't moved on that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So we rang her up and said, listen, we'll call her Mary. Mary, would you mind doing a testimonial? And she said, yeah, I'll come on, but just don't use my name. And as it happened, it conflicted with she herself and the husband were going to Wimbledon and they were on centre court on the day, and then so they couldn't do the Pat Kenny thing. But what she said to Fergal on the phone was, it was really interesting for me and humbling for me, because I went into intro and I asked and I expected to get a red bike. And I came away with a blue bike, but it was a bike all the same. So her expectation was, and she thought that she knew what was going to suit her. Yeah. And if all those boxes that she wanted ticked were ticked, that would be her dream man. And then we twisted her arm into going out with somebody that she thought was wholly unsuitable. But she went anyway because she was a nice person and she believed in the service, and she went out and she got the right guy. But most of her boxes weren't ticked. So what we're always trying to do with two people is, while keeping in mind their criteria, and of course they can refuse a date if they want, if we have an instinct for a match, we'll always put that forward. Some people believe in it, some people don't. And they'll say, no, I'm not prepared to do that because my boxes aren't ticked. And that's fine. Each to their own. You can't force anyone. But what we're always trying to do, and the real struggle is, trying to fit two people together, two people opposite each other that are equally as happy to be there. There's no point in sending Angelina Jolie out with Danny DeVito, because Danny will have a great date. Angelina will go insane. So,
well, he's very funny.
He is very funny. But will she want to get into a bedroom? Probably not. So we're always trying to make that fine balance happen. Two people that are equally as happy to be there. Are either of them going to be elated? Maybe not. But they might get on and chemistry will thrive. So it's always about creating that environment under which chemistry might thrive.
And what do you ask people in the quiz?
Well, you know what I mean? We do all your standard stuff. So all your profile. Okay. What height are you? What age are you? What do you do for a living? What's your education? Do you smoke? What's your religion? Is it important?
Okay.
Do you have kids or no? Want kids or no? They're all the fundamentals.
Okay.
Then we move on to hobbies and interests. And you tell me what you do to enjoy yourself. So it might be, you might be mad into the theatre. Most people, in fact, when we ask that question, they say, I'm not very interesting. So we'll probe. We'll just ask a few questions. And before the end of the interview, they've actually realised that they're much more interesting than they might think. And they do an awful lot more than they might think they do. But the real question, there are two things, three things that shape probably how we'll match you. One is, what are your preferred qualities in a partner? And we leave it open.
Right.
You just tell us. And what do you not want in a partner? That can be as important as what you do want in a partner. And what's your relationship history? Because quite often the relationship history will be reflected in what you do or don't want in a partner. Preferred, when people are giving us their preferred qualities in a partner, if they reach down to the bag or into the pocket for a list, we know it's going to be a catastrophe. It's going to be a catastrophe.
Okay. So I'll tell you mine. So my preferred qualities in a partner are funny, generous, not necessarily financially, but like generous with their time, and not kind of penny pinching, or not like dividing the bill with their calculator. You know what I mean? Somebody who is interesting, kind of interested in world affairs, I guess smart, likes film. I mean, my hobbies, I basically just go to the cinema and watch Netflix and YouTube, like the internet. The internet is my main hobby.
Yeah.
And what do I not
want? I applaud your honesty. Usually people are trying to pad out their hobbies and interests.
Oh no, well I actually think about this a lot, because I'm like,
and the Camino.
Well no, I mean I do train, but I don't really consider fitness a hobby, because I think being in the gym is kind of boring. Like, I do it to enjoy the rest of my life, if you know what I mean.
It's a necessity.
What do I not want in a partner? I don't want anybody who is even, I don't want a man who balks at the idea of being a feminist. No chauvinistic qualities, no sexist jokes. Mm. Preferably didn't go to an all-boys rugby school, although my boyfriend did go to an all-boys rugby school. He's the exception that proves the rule. And then what was the last one? Oh, my relationship history. So I'm a serial monogamist. I've been in two three-year relationships, a four-year relationship, and a year and a half relationship.
So you're capable of being in a relationship. And do you have a type? Of all those monogamous relationships, do they all fit a mold?
They probably are all very kind, tall, and I would say quiet but not shy.
Mm.
So I tend to be the louder one in the relationship, if you know what I mean. Okay, so tell me now. Who would you set me up with? Is it a farmer?
No, not necessarily. I'd probably go for somebody a bit arty. Not necessarily. But having said that, there are farmers that just because they farm for a living.
Oh yeah, of course.
They shouldn't really be kind of, and that's the problem that we have. People tend to be shoved into a box depending on what they do for a living. Because if you think about it, when you go on Tinder or when you, all that, You get someone's first name, you get their age, and then the next bit of information that everybody wants to know is what do they do for a living, because they want to know how that sums that person up. And it's one of the battles that we have, because what someone does for a living, 40 hours a week, does not, you know, it's not the sum total of that person. They're about all those other things as well.
And I mean, obviously, if you're a farmer as well, like, are you a farmer because you're really interested in agriculture? Are you a farmer because you love animals? Are you a farmer because you're very loyal to your family and that's what your family's always done? There's so many different factors. Like, I'm from Kildare, so I'm from not a farming background, but a farming area.
Yeah.
And there are so many different types of people, even within one family that I would know, who have gone into farming, but you wouldn't say, you know, Dave is exactly like Mark, because they're totally different people.
Correct. Look, preaching to the converted here, you know, we know all this, but it does tend to be something that we have to, it's a battle for us to try and kind of say, look, just because somebody does this doesn't mean they're X, Y, and Z. The things that you've asked for are fairly standard. You know, you've asked for a good sense of humour. Most women ask for that. When we say to people, what do you not want in a man? When we say this to women, the number one thing they say is, I don't want someone tight-fisted. Number one, because it says so much more about a guy. It means, generally, they think it means that they're mean-spirited, mean in more ways just than just simply financially. And it says they're not a generous, kind-hearted person, as far as they're concerned. And in truth, it can mean that about some guys, but it's the number one thing that women don't want.
But it's funny as well, because I am the exact opposite of a tight person in that I burn money. You know what I mean? That I'm like, I have money in my bank account, so I need to spend it. So I actually probably need somebody, not necessarily who's like, we're not, you know, I'm not paying for this, you know, glass of wine because I didn't, you're the one who drank it or whatever.
Yeah.
But somebody who's a little bit more, a little bit less flahoolock. You know what I mean? Who's a little bit more careful, because otherwise we'd be fucked, basically.
There'd be no saving for a house anyway.
No.
Yeah.
But he's got a farm. Maybe I don't need to worry about that.
Exactly.
That's a guarantee. As far as I'm
concerned, everyone should be going for farmers. Why not? Red frontage. Yeah, I mean, I can think off the top of my head, and I don't meet everybody at intro, but I can think off the top of my head probably three guys that you might be interested in. They fit the mold in terms of their good sense of humour. A lot of the guys that come to us, it's either because socially they don't get any opportunity to get out there and meet anybody, or else they might be that little bit shy. So a lot of them would fit that kind of typical mold that you have, where, you know, they're a little bit quiet or a little bit shyer than you might be. And that's what stops them. You know, they're going out with their friends, but they can't get up the courage to do the approaching. I don't envy guys that are going out to pubs on a Saturday night. You know, the number of times I've seen a guy pluck up the courage to go up and talk to a girl and then be unceremoniously shoved away and just, who do you think you are? How could you come up to me? Why do you think I'd be interested in you? Women can be their own worst enemy because, you know, and here's the problem, in my view. Guys tend to go for women that they think aren't available. It's just an inherent thing. They don't go for the girl that's obviously sitting there kind of going, oh God, I'd love to be talked to, looking around kind of. They go for the girl that's absorbed in conversation with her friends, that doesn't seem to be interested in him. And he's going, oh great, that'll be a nice chase. And then he goes over and approaches her, and chances are she's got a boyfriend, she's out with her girlfriend, her best friend that she hasn't seen in 6 months. They just want to be left alone. So there is an element of frustration there when these guys keep coming up, tapping them on the shoulder, trying to talk to them. And yeah, I can understand that, of course, that can be frustrating, and it can end up with, for God's sake, just leave me alone. But these guys, you know, you have to remember, they spend probably as much time and effort as you and I do when we're going out on a Saturday night. They certainly invest as much in terms of putting their, being vulnerable. You know, they're putting on the nice shirt, they're having the shower, they're having the shave, putting on the nice shirt, looking in the mirror and saying, yeah, go on out there. You know, you're a sex machine.
Yeah.
You can do this. And building themselves up and then going out.
And then fucking ages picking the girl. Why don't they look around and find the girl who looks like she wants to have a chat? That's their problem.
I think it's just bloody instinct. I think they just want it. Men just want a chase. I really want to ask Liam whether he has a view on this.
Liam and I used to actually date.
No way.
Yeah, he was one of my tall, quiet men. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Poor Liam.
There's a whole YouTube video about how we managed to date and break up and then stay friends.
Oh.
It's very informative for anybody who's wondering how to be friends with their ex.
Fantastic.
But listen, so last but not least, it's Valentine's Day, right? Actually, I was going to say, if you're not out being loved up, you're at home being annoyed. But actually, I'd say most people are at home being annoyed, whether they're in a relationship or not, just going, Valentine's Day is stupid and all the restaurants are booked out and everything's very expensive, or Valentine's Day is stupid and I'm single. If you could give somebody, male or female, three tips on how to get out of, like, how to get out of being single, what would you recommend?
Don't give up. So do something. The biggest barrier for people in Ireland is procrastination. So we would have people, I'll give you an example. We were on the Late Late Show 5 years ago. We still get people calling us and saying, I saw you on the Late Late Show 5 years ago. And it's like, why have you been thinking about it for five fucking years?
They've had it on their list, like, come call on. Intro.
You know, do something. There are so many, it's never been easier to meet people in Ireland. You literally, you're tripping over ways to meet people. You can do it from the comfort of your own couch with no makeup on, in your sweats. You can meet new people. So just do something. Don't lose hope. Dating can be hard. It is difficult. And particularly, you know, with the likes of free dating sites, Tinder, all that kind of stuff. It works for a lot of people, but you need to have quite a thick skin for it. So you need to expect rejection. And as human beings, we're not designed to expect rejection. No. We don't like it. We're not comfortable with it. It's hard to deal with. So unless you expect that, you're going to get a nasty shock when you go online dating. But as long as you expect it and expect that it's going to be hard work somewhat, then it's going to be easy peasy for you. So just doing something, setting up an online dating profile, calling intro, go out, tap all your friends up for introductions, you know, all of those things. Just do something. Don't sit on your hands, because quite often, the older you get, the longer you leave it, the older you get, the more set in your ways you become. We find it all the time. You know, people in their 20s and 30s are, you know, easy breezy about, you know, traveling an hour to meet somebody. They're like, yeah, fine, fuck it, why wouldn't I? Whereas people that are kind of like, you know, 60 and been single all their lives are like, oh no, geez, they need to be within 5 miles of me. I wouldn't drive at night.
But so, there is also the thing that you get into, like, on Friday nights I go to the pub and I have two drinks and then I come home, and on Saturdays I go to do this and on, so, you know what I mean? The older we get, the more into a routine we get, and the more difficult it is to break out of that.
Yes.
And to want to break out of that.
And you forget to realise how rigid and unrealistic you're being to have the expectation that somebody else is going to move all of their life to fit in with yours and just wrap their lives around yours. Compromise is always going to be necessary.
Yeah.
So, and then realistic expectations is the third thing. Always, always sit down, have a very good look at yourself in the mirror. And this sounds very grim, and it's an awful thing to say, but people often, we find, they'll have this list that they want to achieve. So I'll give you an example. I want somebody that's fit and lives a healthy lifestyle and eats healthier, coming from somebody that's clearly 4 stone overweight. Now, you cannot have double standards like that. If you want, you need to understand what you're bringing to the table.
Yeah.
If you're saying, I want someone young, fit and healthy, are you young, fit and healthy?
And or who do you think is worse for that, men or women? Like, for having kind of unrealistic expectations.
Oh. Men. Particularly when it comes to the age thing. And then women. Women quite a bit of the time. We had one lady who came up, she rang us and she said, you know, I'm 56 or whatever, but I'm a very young 56. I'd like someone who's, you know, young, fit and, you know, exciting, you know, loves life. And we used to be in Dawson Street there, and we had a set of stairs not unlike the one that you just had to climb here in our current office.
That was a pretty serious climb.
It is, yeah. Who needs a gym? It's all just so we can save money on gym memberships.
Houses on the steep steps, I don't know.
I know. So this lady, when we buzzed her up, we were standing at the top of the stairs and we were going, where is she? And she came up on two crutches. She hadn't broken her leg. She walked with walking sticks because she was so heavy.
Oh, because she was just a bit immobile from...
She was immobile. And she said, well, I like to walk a lot and I like to do this. And we were like, okay. And she's saying, well, not at the moment, not now, but I used to like walking a lot. But it's years since she did anything active. But then her expectations were...
The idea she had
of herself was her 5 years ago before she had health issues.
Yeah.
And then she wouldn't deal with that. We called her with a guy who had arthritis in his neck, and she wouldn't date him because she was thinking, no, he's not going to be able to keep up with me. It's like, what? What are you talking about? So realistic expectations are extremely important. Having a good, hard look in the mirror and saying, what do I bring to the party? And how are they going to be happy with me? Because you have to remember, when you're dating somebody, there are two people involved and both need to be pleased. So the unfortunate thing quite often can be, we find sometimes that people can, you know, come to the dating process, they pay their membership of intro, they go out on a date and sit and wait to be entertained. Sit back quietly and say, so, well, I've paid my money as well. I'm in this process. You need to please me as well. People forget that. They think that they're the only ones that have anything that, you know, that need to be pleased.
Yeah. And that they're kind of sitting down there and going, well, okay, like, entertain impress me. Upon me why I should go out with you again, kind of thing.
Why would I be bothered with you?
Yeah, rather than the other way around.
So,
God, love isn't easy.
Love is not easy. It's not easy. But you need to just do something. Don't lose hope. And we did an MRI study there recently. And 52% of people of singletons over 25 had lost hope of ever meeting anybody.
Over 25?
Over 25. Jesus. Now, I want to know what 25 or 26-year-old has had such a bad dating experience that they would say, I'm never going to meet my special someone. That's grim. Depressing. That's really grim. I mean, people say to me all the time, do you believe in the one? I do, but many ones. I think there are many ones for people. I do. It's like absolutely possible to fall in love with three or four different people in your lifetime or more. It depends on what stage you're at in life.
And I suppose you have to be open to it as well.
You have to be open to it. You have to be open to it.
Like that episode of Sex and the City where it's like, but are you really out there? Mm. Are you really, really out there? Yes.
But stop putting barriers in your way. People put barriers in their way all the time. Oh, he has to be this or she has to be that. And then overlooking everybody else. You know, I used to have a thing for tall guys, right? So I'm 5'10". And I used to only go for guys that were kind of 6 foot and above, because otherwise I felt like a dude. Mm-hmm. I'd feel just really androgynous. So he had to be big and make me feel like a dainty little girl. And that was hard, because the average height of a man in Ireland is 5'7.5".
What?
Yep. So, and the average height of a woman is 5'5".
So 5'7.5"?
5'7.5", yeah. Some studies put it at 5'7", some put it at 5'8". We split the difference. 5'7.5".
Oh my God.
So I always had a bit of difficulty, you know, finding guys. I would walk into a club and I would only see guys that were there and above. It wouldn't even cross my mind to register anybody that was below 6 foot. And then I was introduced to Fergal, and he's 5'9.5". So he's like a half inch shorter than me. And I won't lie, it took me a while to reconcile with that. Poor Fergal. Don't worry, he loves himself. It's fine. But it was a good hard chat I had to have with myself about my expectations, because really that was my only, you know, criteria for a guy.
Yeah, and that is quite a strict...
It's a strict criteria.
But you know what? I have a friend who's 5'3" or 5'4", and she will only date men who are 5'11"-ish or above, or like she really likes a 6 footer. I know, but I'm always going, like, you're the one who needs to go out with the 5'5" guys because they're the ones who aren't getting any from anybody. Do you know what I mean? That I'm
exactly.
Like loads of women have a really big thing in their head about height. They and do. I never have. I consider myself an equal opportunities dater. Like, I honestly, height, like, hair colour, skin colour, I don't care. Like, anyway, I mean, obviously I'm very discerning, but I don't care about any of that. But she is really, really strict on this. Mm. And I'm like, you're really ruining it for the short men you should be going out with.
And she's ruining for the tall girls.
Yeah, because
like,
she's
don't forget all the
men.
Women, like, Roisin inside is 6 foot, and, like, you know, tall women are becoming far more popular.
Now, that being said, my sister is, I think, 5'11", so she'd be the same height as you. And her husband is, I think, 5'7 or 5'8. And she has just, maybe we were both obviously brought up to just be very unshallow.
Because I love
she's
how progressive
never cared
she is.
She's never cared about height either. And she wears heels, and she, you know what I mean? She's not like, oh, I can't wear heels because he's shorter than I am. She just wears whatever she wants.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care, and she doesn't care. Do you know what I mean? It's just not an issue. I'm like, why would it be? It's kind of a mad thing to be obsessed with.
Do you know, that's one problem that we have, actually. We, admittedly, as an agency, we don't even consider guys that are shorter than women.
Oh, really?
Wouldn't even cross our mind to consider a match.
Oh, wow.
Because we get...
It's so limiting for tall
women. So we... Because we get such a bad response even when we call women with guys that are the same height.
And what about men taller. About women who are taller? Do they have an issue with that, or do they care?
They generally don't care.
Okay.
You would what surprised me actually about guys when we opened this agency, I thought they'd all be coming in with their big list of shallow, I want 6 foot blonde, I want skinny, I want this. It's rare actually that men even mention physicality.
Oh.
Rare. Some will say,
just
well,
goes
use,
to show, it's fucking women's magazines and it's more in our head. Do you know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're so conditioned to think
Yeah. Now, some guys, when they go on a date, in feedback, they might say, listen, I'd prefer somebody a little bit slimmer if you're talking about somebody that's, you know, a little bit overweight or whatever.
Yeah.
And you kind of take that on the chin and say, okay, fine, fair enough. You know, he's a thin guy or whatever it is. Whereas, yeah, you know, if he wasn't, we'd be kind of laying the smack down, if you know what I mean. Yeah. But generally they don't. They'll use code at times and say, I'd like a woman that looks after herself.
That's like such a simple
We
code,
read between
guys.
The lines, yeah. You know. But in reality, women in Ireland do look after themselves.
Oh, yeah,
they're very well preserved. They really are.
They
like
lemons at Christmas.
We, like, one of the best looking women we ever had was a lady called Derville, and she was 53. And she was phenomenal. Every new employee that we would have in the company, we would present them with her picture and say, what age do you think she is? And invariably be 35. She was phenomenal looking. And a lot of the women are. Women in Ireland
Please
are really...
Please tell me she ended up with, like, a nice dentist. Somebody very wealthy, could, like, jet set... A retired doctor?
Yeah, no, he wasn't retired. I think he was a trader off the top of my head.
Okay,
I think
fine.
He was a trader.
I'd like that.
And a very, very nice guy. But the women generally in Ireland, and this is another kind of imbalance that we have, women really look after themselves. They go to the gym.
We do love our blow dries, yeah.
Yeah.
They get their nails done.
Precisely.
What are men doing?
They're pretty slow to pick up the old fitness mantle. Some of them are great, but, you know, the majority
Well, sure, if they farm, they're grand. Heavy lifting.
Yeah, and heavy eating.
Eating?
Yeah, so butter and all that kind of stuff.
Listen, oh my God, this farm dinners. Farming sounds better the more I hear about it.
I know.
Like, this sounds great.
I'm drawn to it as well.
Go down there, eat the spuds.
Yeah. Get fed.
Yeah, it'd be great. Well, Rena, thank you so much for coming on to talk
My
to
pleasure.
Me about all things love and matchmaking. How can people get in touch with you or get in touch with Intro if they want to?
Well, they can go to intro.ie or they can call us. We're here on Grafton Street. The number's on the website. It's 677-000. But we're nationwide. We've people from all 32 counties, aged 22 to 84 and all ages in between. So anybody. We have someone for anyone. There's 2 million single people in Ireland. 2 million.
2 million?
Yeah.
How many people are in Ireland altogether?
There's like what?
4 point
God.
Something.
Something like that, yeah. 2 million, and that includes single, separated, divorced, widowed.
I don't know
widowed.
If that's encouraging or depressing, because I feel like when my single friends go out, they're like, where the fuck, there's no single men anywhere. They're obviously all down the country.
Yeah.
Not to generalize.
Yeah. But. That's right. They are. Or else they're just not bothering going out. See, the difference between men and women is that women will still support their single friends, whether they're in relationships or not.
Oh, yeah.
Men, once they pair off, that's the wingman gone. They don't mind their single friends. So invariably, the single guy or, you know, one or two of them that are left in a group don't have anyone to go out with on a Saturday night.
But I also think when they do go out, they're going out specifically to have a lads' night out without their partner. So they're like, we're not looking for him. We're not speaking to him. And we're just going out with the lads.
In the zone.
So So they're not being the wingman going, go and chat her up. They're like, don't even look at a woman.
Exactly.
We're having a lads' night.
I haven't seen you in 2 months. We're getting plastered.
Oh, I love to generalise about men.
Me too.
Rena, thank you so much. Let's generalise about men. Let's generalise about men. Let's take one bad thing about one man and apply it to all of them. Let's conflate all the guys. Let's generalise about men. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of How to Be Sound. I really hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, that you will go onto iTunes and leave a review and give it as many stars as you deem worthy, but don't do one, because, like, that's lame. If you really, really love How to Be Sound and you want to help support the work that I'm doing, I would really appreciate if you would go onto my Patreon. It's patreon.com/howtobesound and pledge a little donation. You can pledge $3.33 a month in dollars, up to $9.99, and you get different perks, including a very exclusive mini-sode to go with each episode where I talk about a whole range of different things that you're currently missing out on. Thanks so much as well to my beautiful producer, Liam, whose podcast, Meet Your Maker, is out now. It's on series 2, and I actually would recommend starting from the beginning because it's really, really fun. The episodes are great. You can catch me at rosemarymccabe.com and at rosemarymccabe with an A in my Mac on all forms of social media except Snapchat, because I'm over that now. Thanks so much, and I'll catch you next time. Let's generalize about men. Let's generalize about men. Let's get super lit and not admit this is some kind of primal ritual we need now and then. Maybe our spirits will rise if we generalize about men. All men are stupid and childish, even the ones who are smart and mature. All every man does every day is watch porn, eat wings, burp, fart, and snore.
fine.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.